The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Hour 1 Podcast.
The NCAA made a big mistake not setting an NIL compensation framework earlier. Who said that?
No.
The president of the NCAA said that. Charlie Baker. Yesterday in D.C., I was 10 feet from him when he said it, and I wanted to say, and you still took the job. But he did, and we'll talk more about that as we roll on today. Inside one Florida's rep to save the integrity of college sports from on three. And you know, why is this one representative so important? There are 435. You usually don't think about anyone other than the speaker or maybe the whips being relevant, but he heads a subcommittee, which I learned yesterday could be critical. And Pete Nakos with the story in just a moment. How about this? Senator Katie Britt, that is Nick Saban, and President Stuart Bell. Katie Britt, new senator from Alabama. Her husband, Wesley Britt, former All-American at Alabama, and he played for the Patriots. Brian Kelly making the rounds in Steve Scalise's office. He's one of the most important people on the Hill. Scott Woodward in that meeting. That's Sankey over there on the right? That's Greg's. Is that Saban in there?
Looks like it.
Yeah, I mean, he's the only guy wearing a fuchsia jacket on Capitol Hill. I guess he missed the memo. You're supposed to wear dark suits in Washington. I mentioned Pete Nakos joining us to talk about how this bill could possibly see the light of day. Pete, thanks for the time. And I'm really curious because after spending 24 hours in the swamp in D.C., I began to wonder how anything ever gets done. So tell us what you've learned from your reporting and how maybe an NIL bill could see the light of day. Good afternoon.
That was my takeaway too, Paul. Good afternoon to you as well. I spent 24 hours in D.C. as well, and I guess my biggest takeaway is nothing is imminent, right? There's a summer break right after that comes out Labor Day, and it seems like Charlie Baker and the NCAA would really like to see something come to pass right after that. As you mentioned, there's the representative Bill Rawkins from Florida, and he heads up a subcommittee for the House Committee on Energy and Commerce, and he has passed around a draft that would basically ban pay-for-play and prohibit boosters and collectives from inducements. At the same time, it would establish the U.S. Intercollegiate Athletics Commission to oversee the NIL process, which just seems like would completely turn the NCAA framework as we know it on its head.
Pete, I want to keep plugging away there, not to turn you into our seventh grade civics teacher, but other than a time of national crisis, it is not easy to get something done in Washington, D.C. You mentioned the representative. The bill has to emanate there. It needs cooperation. And not only does it need to get through one house, it needs to get through the other. Do you know anyone who thinks that's really going to happen?
After spending 24 hours in D.C., no. I had a conversation with the legislative assistant to the majority leader, Steve Scalise, as you mentioned earlier. He met with Brian Kelly, and the young man listed off about six things that he thought were higher on the to-do list than higher than college athletics. And if I had to be honest with you, as a college athletics reporter, there's only so many things on there that I could completely follow along that he was talking about. So yeah, I don't see this as a vital or extremely important for anybody in Congress right now. As I mentioned in my story today, the representative from Florida like was joking around that Wednesday was NIL day on the Hill. Like it was more of a chance to like hang out with Nick Saban than it was to reform college athletics. I don't see this going anywhere. And I think the biggest problem is Charlie Baker really wants to get this congressional mandate to happen. And he has yet to present anything that really seems like a rock solid plan B.
And I wondered, Pete, you know, here is Charlie Baker, the two-time governor of Massachusetts, a really smart man. And he had to go about this in the most conventional or unconventional way possible. And really what he said was it's the NCAA's fault. He says that as he is the head of the NCAA. What he's really talking about is what has happened in the past. But how does that motivate anybody to, you know, whether it's a committee chairman or a majority leader or even, you know, people more important than that to say, okay, listen, we need to, you know, move away from whether it's Ukraine, whether it's China, whether it's making sure that the border is secure or making sure that young people, you know, can be properly educated. We need to forget all that stuff. A lot of those things have been unintended consequences. So we can then take up the college athletics problem when it's their own doing.
Yeah, exactly. I think the other thing that I think about when we go through this process, right, and we talk to these lawmakers and everything is they only have so much goodwill, right? Like what congressman in their right mind is going to take all the goodwill they've built up on the Hill and spend it on college athletics? Like what lawmaker can really go run a campaign back home off of college athletics reform?
Yeah, and I think that, Pete, I think even most fervent football fans don't like what we have, but they'll still be there on Saturday, whether it's in Gainesville or Tallahassee or Tuscaloosa or College Station. This stuff is not going to get in their way.
No, not at all. Not at all. And I mean, I understand that it keeps Nick Saban and Kirby Smart up at night trying to figure out how much money they need to go get a player, and I understand that that is not a world that they want to live in. But on the flip side, Paul, it's a pretty entertaining world to live in at the same time and follow day to day. And I know it really annoys some fans, but it also draws some fans to the game. And a large part of me thinks, like, why doesn't the NCAA try to give this one more shot, try to figure it out before it begs Congress to come up with an answer? Why don't they establish the college football playoff as the oversight for college football and appoint a commissioner and see how that goes? And it just seems like there could be so many models out there. Like why turn to DC for answers when it seems like DC doesn't really want to help?
And Pete, you can only do what college sports did one time. You know, and the SEC put its best foot forward. And then there were a couple of different things going on in DC. There was that, and then this summit that was going on a couple of blocks away, where Charlie Baker spoke. But my question to you is, in all these meetings, and you alluded to it a minute ago, other than Congress people and senators sending out tweets of them and their favorite football coach, did you hear one person other than maybe Tuberville, who has been on this kick since he got in there, say anything constructive? And I know you talked to the congressman on the subcommittee that would lead. I know I'm answering the same question, but I'm just trying to find a morsel from all of this. And you know, there was a lot of jet fuel was spent, most of it private jet fuel, to get up there. And I'm just trying to get a morsel of goodwill that it accomplished something.
I don't think it accomplished anything, Paul. If anything was accomplished, it reaffirmed the thought that the answer to fixing college athletics does not lie in D.C. And you can continue to spend the cash on the jet fuel, and you can continue to make the call to your local representative, but the NCAA needs to really sit down and think this summer about what it wants to be and what it wants to accomplish. And I think we've passed the point right now. Like, it's the one other thing that sticks out to me is, are we really – Not me or you, but is the NCAA really helping out athletes anymore, or are they just in it to I don't know, represent their institutions, right? Like, the athletes are not at the table. Yes, I know some NCAA delegations brought up athletes, and they provided their thought process and what their thoughts are on NIL. I just don't really know where we are now in terms of, like, there's the athletes, there's the institutions, there's officials, and it doesn't really seem like we're really getting the thought process and opinions from the athletes that makes as much.
Pete Nakos, before you go, I want to close on that because I got the distinct impression and listening to the NCAA president talk and that the only way to deal with this is for college football. You mentioned the commissioner, but I'm not sure a better idea wouldn't it be for college football just simply to break away from the rest of it. Because the things that I saw in a very short period of time there, I don't know if you were in the same session I was when you had Amy Perka, I think her name was, the head of the Knight Commission. And I mean, I'm loosely describing what she said with the NCAA president sitting next to her and athletic directors. Bubba Cunningham was a couple of rows away from me. Missouri athletic director Desiree Francois was in there. People that belonged to major Power Five conferences and the chancellor at Kansas. I saw him, other people that, I mean, in a way she was suggesting, she may have been quoting somebody else's words, but she was essentially suggesting that the CFP billions of dollars be shared with all these other programs out there that are supporting lacrosse and volleyball and everything else. And, you know, Baker quickly said, hey, not a priority right now.
Yeah, he said it's not a priority, but then he also alluded to, not in the same breath, but shortly after, about how the NCAA might be too large right now, right? And how the problems facing the Division I college football players look significantly different than Division III. It seems like we're trying to find the answer to a lot of questions at once, and it doesn't seem like we're seeing any movement at all.
Pete, I'm curious about one thing Baker said, and he was talking about sports gambling and how prevalent it was on college campuses. And then he essentially embraced the idea of the NCAA, which has always acted like gambling doesn't exist. And I think it may have been Thamel who alluded to, or somebody who alluded to the fact that there was a time when if you worked at a newspaper that printed the betting line, the NCAA wouldn't grant you credentials to the Final Four. And then he essentially said, we're considering embracing sports gambling.
Yes. I actually pulled up that quote this afternoon. He said, I think sports betting is a major opportunity, and recognize and understand how easy it is for a fan to see it on its own. I thought that was really interesting, right? What if the NCAA were to fully embrace sports betting? What would that look like? How would that change the landscape of it? Athletics. And then he obviously walked it back and he said how he thinks it's a real challenge for student athletes. But just think, Paul, how interesting it would be if there's an NCAA president who just came out and said, we're going to fully embrace sports betting. And I mean, man, how that would just reshape college athletics and only probably grow the sport. And not even just football, but basketball and baseball and just to think if that was something that the NCAA wanted to embrace.
Pete, I'm glad you corroborated that, because I wondered if I was the only one who went to Washington optimistic and full of hope and came back depressed and despondent. But thank you for making me feel better on this Friday.
Same here, Paul. Same here.
Great to talk to you. Pete Nakos from On3. Again, we'll talk more about the trip to Washington. And I think you got the gist of it right there. Your phone calls around the corner. We're coming right back.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Oh, let's share some good news with you. Eli Gold, cancer-free. That according to an interview, and that story in AL.com, and that is great news. Eli expected to be back for the first game behind the mic. How about Alabama's baseball team? A month ago, we thought it was over. Coach fired, betting scandal, didn't affect the team at all. They have gotten on a run, and they head to Wake Forest this weekend for a super regional. Florida, South Carolina expected to later on. Wake and Alabama tomorrow, that's noon. LSU, Kentucky, Southern Miss and Tennessee. That game is in Hattiesburg, and nobody's too happy about that. Kennington, Lloyd Smith III, he covers Bama. We'll talk to him about that. Remember John Curry, the former athletic director at Tennessee? Now at Wake Forest. We'll talk to him about returning there. And Jack Swarbrick, who one of the truly landmark athletic directors in the college game, stepping down in a year. He'll be replaced, of course, by a television executive. Tyler Horker covers that program. And Tyler, we've had a number of conversations with Jack, and I've always thought him to be one of the most thoughtful and brightest. He's a former corporate lawyer, athletic directors in the country. Good afternoon, and tell us why now.
Yeah, good afternoon to you too, Paul. Appreciate you having me on. It was one of those things that really over the last couple of months, maybe even a year, there were rumblings. You would talk to people and they would say, yeah, with the way that college athletics is going and everything that's changing in the last couple of years in the landscape, this might be it for Jack Swarbrick. I don't know if he wants to continue on and kind of have to oversee all of these things. And I'm talking NIL. I mean, you just had Pete Nakos on here. And funny enough, this is how small the landscape is. He's actually a colleague of mine under the On3 Sports umbrella. I literally talked to him 2 hours ago, I think 1 p.m. Eastern, about Notre Dame's space in the NIL sphere and how do they compare to the Alabamas in the world and the Tennessees of the world. And there's a story coming at blueandgold.com and Blue and Gold Illustrated about that later this summer. But the answer is Notre Dame is not reeling in as much money with its collective as the Tennessee collective is. They may be on par with Alabama because Alabama is obviously the donor pool isn't as big as in Alabama as it is as a Tennessee, even though Alabama has been what it's been in college football the last decade and a half. But at Notre Dame, it is hard to reel in that money, even though the endowment's crazy. I think it's a top 10 endowment in the country. Obviously, there are a lot of great alumni that have come here, alumni that have gone to Notre Dame. But it's just that it's really hard to get those folks to buy into paying to make your football team better. And Jack Swarbrick never explicitly said that, but that's just the truth. And that's just one part of it. NIL is just one part of it. So it had always been a factor of him, not a matter of if, but when. And it kind of caught some people off guard because it was a random Thursday in June. But once you sit back and you look at everything he's done in 15 years at Notre Dame and you realize where college athletics is going, it's really not that much of a surprise that he's stepping down at the beginning of next year.
From a distance, and that's all I can offer, I think it's a great loss because he really brought credibility to that position of AD, Tyler. And too often the ADs seem like players. I don't mean on the field, but I feel like I'm being taken on Wall Street half the time by some of these guys and men and women. So let's talk about who is going to take his place. I joked about the TV executive, but that's exactly what Notre Dame is getting.
And that's another part of this conversation about how much college athletics is shifting, right? Notre Dame has a TV deal coming up at the end of next season. The end of next season, that NBC deal is going by the wayside. So who do they go and hire as Jack Swarbrick's replacement? NBC Sports Chairman Pete Bevacqua, who for the last 5 years that he's been at NBC has really been the driving force behind everything that you see Notre Dame home game wise that goes on NBC. I mean, the game's on Peacock, which some people obviously don't like too much, but that's just the way that sports is going these days. I mean, the NFL is streaming games on Amazon. There's going to be an NFL game on Peacock. Pete Bevacqua was behind that. And there's just so much innovation that NBC has done in the last 5 years since he's been there. And I mean, that goes with the evolution of anything. But if you watch a Notre Dame football game this fall in 2023, it's not going to look anything like the Notre Dame football games that you watched in 2012 and that run to the national championship game against Alabama. And Pete Bevacqua has a lot to do behind all of that. Now, I wrote an article today at blueandgold.com asking a few questions of Pete Bevacqua. We obviously have not spoken to him in a formal press conference. I expect that to happen, if not sometime this year, then obviously closer to when he officially takes over in 2024. But he's got to deal with the hiring and firing of coaches now. I mean, if Marcus Freeman doesn't pan out, then he's got to have the hard conversations and say, is this really our guy? Neil Ivey is the women's basketball coach. She's an alum. She won a national championship as a player in 2001, won a national championship as an assistant coach in 2018. Her program is rolling right now. It looks like it's on the up and up, but if that fizzles out, can he fire one of his own? Because you have to remember, Pete Bevacqua is also an alum of Notre Dame, graduated in 1993, was a walk-on punter for Lou Holtz's football team, believe it or not. So he bleeds blue and gold. He's Notre Dame through and through. But now he's not so much, hey, how do we make Notre Dame look good on TV? It's, hey, how do we make Notre Dame look good in the national landscape of collegiate athletics? And that's a totally different deal. And that's an undertaking that he has signed himself up for.
Tyler, before you go, you mentioned Marcus Freeman. How has Brian Kelly's success at LSU, a man that was excoriated on the way out of town, lampooned and laughed at.
Yeah.
How is his success at LSU playing in South Bend?
Well, it obviously hasn't landed well. The coaches aren't going to talk about it. The coaches and the players will still tell you that they love Brian Kelly. I wouldn't be shocked if you see some of these guys around here saying, man, that's our guy who's playing for the SEC championship. That's our guy who's winning these big ball games against Alabama. So for the players and coaches, they see it and they're like, that's who Brian Kelly is. For the fans and the people that live here in South Bend, it's a little harder pill to swallow because you have to remember, you go back, everybody knows it. He left at a time where Notre Dame could have been in the college football playoff in 2021. He left a week before that announcement. If they have a couple things go their way in the conference championship week, Notre Dame's playing for playing in the college football playoff and having a chance to win a national title, and Marcus Freeman's first game would have been in the college football playoff, which is just crazy to think about. So the words that I would use to describe your question, to answer your question, it's kind of surreal. It's odd. It's frustrating to some. It's maddening to others. But at the end of the day, it's reality. And there are a lot of people. I mean, there's people talking on our message board at blueandgold.com as recent as this week saying, man, if Notre Dame would have had Brian Kelly in 2022, the Fighting Irish don't go 9-4. They don't lose to Marshall and Stanford. And maybe they're in that college football playoff conversation again. So Freeman has a lot of pressure to kind of live up to the standard that Brian Kelly created here. Like it or not, that just is what it is.
Thank you very much, Tyler. Appreciate your time. Meanwhile, they're loving it down in Baton Rouge where Brian Kelly is the toast of the town. And we'll talk more about that and other questions. Finally getting to your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, we're back, and it's been 30 minutes since we've been on the air, and we have not had a single phone call. So who will be the first caller?
Who will it be?
Who are you guessing? Man, mammal, or rodent? Squirrel is up next.
You know, it's always best to go with the rodent, and that's a good choice. You mentioned Tennessee, Southern Miss Super Regional. A few minutes ago going on down in Hattiesburg and the fuss, which allows me to discuss one of my favorite topics, if you don't mind, which is the Tennessee fan base. First, I'd like to say that for a program that literally hasn't accomplished anything significant on a national level in, what, like 30 years, they somehow feel entitled. And that's always amazed me and amused me, too, at the same time. And they're complaining about having to go to Hattiesburg. Well, for one thing, Hattiesburg seats more, their stadium seats more people than Tennessee. So maybe they might want to think about getting rid of that T-ball stadium that they have down there in Knoxville and maybe put in a few more seats and then they can get the Super Regional. But have you heard the fuss about the Applebee's, Paul?
I have not, no.
Tennessee fans, and there's nothing more Tennessee than this. Tennessee fans are fussing because there's no Applebee's in Hattiesburg. And Hattiesburg, for a small town, probably has more restaurants and better restaurants per capita than Knoxville. What would you say Knoxville's signature restaurant is? Calhoun's Barbecue?
It's Calhoun. Yeah, it's easy. It's Calhoun's on the River. That's the most famous restaurant there.
Yeah, and it's nothing. It's a barbecue joint that's, you know, a second-rate barbecue joint that's been outdated for 25 years. I mean, so, you know, like I said, it's just amusing for Tennessee fans and their arrogance to bring their ass down to Tennessee and complain about the food. I hope Southern Miss takes them in, too. Thanks for taking my call. Aloha.
Wow. Squirrel. Remember, Squirrel is from, I think, Oak Ridge. So he grew up there. He knows the terrain. Thomas is up next in California. Hello, Thomas.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing today?
Very well. Thank you.
How do you feel about Tennessee defense improving this football season, and what is the percentage chance they beat Alabama and Florida on the road this season?
I think it's very good that Tennessee's defense will improve. I would say they'll split those two games. I think they'll beat Florida and lose to Alabama. Gavin is in Florida. Hello, Gavin.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
Very well. Thank you.
Yeah, so I just wanted to talk about college football real quick. So I know a lot of people may not think this, but some actually may agree with me on this. Applebee's does hit better after a football game for Tennessee. At least for Tennessee fans. That's my opinion.
Okay.
Thank you for your service.
And one of the other things I wanted to talk about, that is just like a little comment. You know, you really can't replace a good quarterback. Like, once they leave the league and go to, like, the pros, you really can't replace them unless you get, like, another star quarterback. At least that's my opinion, anyways.
Well, Gavin, I think it's difficult to replace a generational quarterback, which Tennessee had, but I think it's going to be easier for them than many people think because Joe Milton has great experience, and he isn't a newcomer to the system. Trey is up next in Arkansas. Hello, Trey.
How you doing on this fine Friday today, Paul?
We are making it through it. How about you?
I'm chugging along like the must buses, baby. We got, I'm pretty sure Grant Nelson's going to be a hog this year. And also a little thing for Matt. Woo pig suey. The Aggies are going to get beat like that Cherokee drum. It's going to be wonderful. The Aggie fans will cry. I will be laughing and having a great time saying woo pig suey. And as always, Paul, woo pig, screw them Aggies. Okay, that's it.
Matt, you're on.
Okay, you pathetic loser. You think you're going to beat us? Did you beat us last year? No, we beat you. I ain't afraid of your dumb hogs. The only thing we're going to do is happen at the end of the day. I'm going to get the last laugh and want to roast your stinking mascot. Shut your pathetic mouth up, you losers. Same with that AC. I will beat you like a Cherokee drum. Same as Jim Vitalcisa. And John Farmerville, you can shove it where it's showing outside. Because he's a comeback here, baby. Bring him! Peace, Paul!
I mean, did I walk into a kinder care by accident? And well, while they were serving the morning milk and cookies, Doug is up next in Tulsa. Hello, Doug.
Paul, how am I supposed to follow those two geniuses, huh?
You've already doubled the IQ.
Hey, all right. So speaking of doubling the IQ, Paul, I'm a big OU fan, and when the announcement came that OU was coming to the SEC, I was so excited, and I never listened to your show before. And so I'm like, I got to listen to the Paul Feinbaum show. And so I started listening to your show, and immediately I got hooked. So I've been listening to your show for 23 months now, and I'm hooked on your show. I listen to it every day. I love it. I love it, Paul. I love your show. Your callers are nuts. Callers are crazy. I love every bit of it. So I'm so excited to be on your show today. Now, the reason I'm calling is I feel like that it is my duty as a Sooner fan to educate your beautiful, wonderful listeners of the South about the Oklahoma Sooners. And, Paul, last week you didn't even have them in your top four of greatest blue bloods. So if you just give me a minute, I want to show you how great OU is and how they should be in your top four of your blue bloods. So just bear with me for a minute. First of all, they have the nation's longest win streak at 47 games in a row. They also have win streaks of 31, 28, and 20 games. They've won 7 national titles. Now, unlike Alabama fans, Paul, we only include AP and coaches poll national titles. If you go by the NCAA, they say we have 18 national titles in football. All right, so that ranks third in the nation. We're 908 total wins. That's fifth in the nation. Our winning percentage is at 72.6%. That's sixth in the nation. We have 82 consensus All-Americans, which is sixth in the nation. 167 total All-Americans. We have 92 national.
Hey, Doug. When was your last national championship?
All right, now Paul, it was in 2000, but we're long overdue. And last season was an aberration. Because our stupid coach with a bad defense.
I mean, Doug, how do you say it with all due respect? You've got to be a little more contemporary. Hey, thanks for the call. Bill is up next. Hey, Bill, go right ahead.
Hello. So I would like to talk about Joe Milton's rocket arm.
How old are you, Bill, what is your age? We're trying to establish your seniority here. How old are you?
I'm 43.
Jim is up next. Hello, Jim. Did he sound 43 to you?
Yes. Months.
Yeah, he did sound 43 compared to the people in Washington. That's exactly what he sounded like. But here's what I got. Just, I'll be brief. You got the two kindergarten kids, brats is what they are, Trey and Batty Matty from San Antonio. That's radio gold, Paul. You keep it up, baby. You'll get hot with that pair, said the bear.
Yeah,
what a great pair they are.
We'll get picked up nationally with that.
Oh, man, there's going to be people turning up. Where can I find them? Great pair, said the bear. All right, see you. Thank you very much.
And we will take a short break. That's one of the best calls Jim's ever had. We'll take a break. A couple of guests to start. Your phone calls have continued and will right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we're back here Friday afternoon, and Paul is in College Station. You are next up. Good afternoon, Paul.
Oh, how are you, Paul?
Very well. Thank you for calling.
Gosh, I can't believe I got on. I'm a first-time caller. A previous listener mentioned that, you know, he had only been listening to you for about 23 months, and I've been listening to you since the summer of 2020. And at that time, I remember the uncertainty of football happening in the fall. You know, I worked in public education in an admin counseling role, and we were trying to figure out the same thing about how to get kids in the classrooms. And it got me through, you know, that time of uncertainty, listening to your show at that time, because I just remember a lot of your comments about the information that you were trying to get. To find out, you know, what the status of everything was and if it was going to happen, were we going to have football. And so just wanted to personally thank you. And I've been I listen to you as much as I can. And I really think you have a really good heart for people. And so just you got me through a really tough time in my life. And so I just wanted to say thank you.
Well, Paul, thank you. I don't think listen, I hope there's never another time like that. But I appreciate you. Doing this show was the healthiest thing that I think I've ever done during that stretch, because we all were struggling, and I don't know if we've ever even talked about that. I was doing that show from an upstairs bedroom at my house because the studio was locked down, and it was maddening. But I've never felt the relationship that all of us had together. And, you know, we didn't even all agree on what we should be doing. I don't think anyone knew what the right course was, but it was an amazing. So I assume everything is calmed down in your life now?
Completely, 100%. It was at that time, none of us knew what was going to happen. And I live in College Station. I've been here for 20 something years, and I'm not an Aggie. Like, I didn't go to school there. I'm a fan. My wife is an Aggie. My dad was an Aggie. But now I have a daughter who finished her freshman year at UT. So I'm split. I support her. So I'm split down the middle. I'm a fan of both. So I actually love the move of UT to the SEC, so I can follow both of my schools. So.
Well, Paul, thank you for saying what you did and for being on, and be well. Hopefully we can do this again sometime. Thank you very, very much. Tyler is in Louisiana. Hello, Tyler.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are well, thank you.
First time caller, and I'm an LSU fan, and as LSU, all the great defensive players have come through. I have to say, Tyrann Mathieu was the most electric playmaker I've ever seen on the defensive side of the ball. And I'm only 25, so I've only seen, you know, that amount of time. But I just want to get your thoughts on Harold Perkins. What he did last year in only really half a season was truly remarkable, and just want to get your thoughts on it. Thank you.
Yeah, I agree. I can't quite compare him to the Honey Badger yet, but we might fairly soon. No, his breakout was extraordinary to watch. And, you know, we hear so much about Jaden Daniels and others and Brian Kelly, but I don't think we give him enough credit. Thank you for the call. Thank you very, very much. Let's check in with Athens up next. Good afternoon.
Oh, how you doing?
Hey, how are you?
Okay, so I'm wondering, like, why you're obsessed with Alabama, because, you know, they just lost the number one draft pick in the NFL draft, you know, and I'm really wondering about Tennessee. Like, why you're obsessed with them and you think that Alabama's going to beat them?
Well, I don't know if I'm obsessed with Alabama. I mean, I might be, but my obsession with Alabama or anyone else has nothing to do with that opinion. I think it's pretty obvious why I picked Alabama. I think they're going to be a better team. I think they're more complete. They have a hole at quarterback. I would acknowledge that. But other than quarterback, I don't know where else they are deficient. Being in Tuscaloosa is extremely important in a game. I'm not going to say Tennessee would have beaten Alabama, would not have beaten Alabama in Tuscaloosa last year because I saw them go on the road and destroy LSU. But I think it would have been – I think that crowd was enormously helpful in the fourth quarter.
But Tennessee, but they just got this five-star quarterback, and I don't know.
Well, so what?
I don't know.
You don't think Alabama has five-star quarterbacks?
No, they do. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying. And then you were talking about how Tennessee's defense has improved, and I'm wondering, like, why you're
– Well, all we can do is wait for the game, but I can tell you now Tennessee will be the underdog in that game, if that means anything, and quite frankly, it doesn't. But we will be right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.